Well, I am fully aware that it's kind of weird when you see the worship guy preaching. So if you're kind of like, this seems different, that's okay, I get it. It's the same for me sometimes when I see a worship pastor preaching. Have you ever seen a family with, a husband and wife and their two kids, and you just see them all getting this huge fight, and like the boy, let's say it's a boy and a girl, the boy's picking on his sister, he's calling her names, he's being mean to her, and then she gets upset, she starts to cry, she gets her feelings hurt. What does the parent say to the boy? Apologize to your sister. And of course, the boy goes, I'm sorry. The most heartfelt apology of all. And if you've observed that, you can probably see that the boy doesn't quite get it. Most of the time, the parents will make him say it again, but mean it. He kind of missed the point. He just kind of did it because he had to, not really because he wanted to or because he felt like he was actually sorry. We've been talking about a shift. The last couple of weeks, we've been talking about a shift in worship, a shift in connection, in sacrifice, and witness. And today we're going to be talking about a shift in obedience. Obedience. What do you think about when you hear the word obedience as a Christian? Probably think about maybe following the rules, maybe trying to do the right thing. Maybe there are some Christians who kind of go the more legalistic route and try to do everything just right. And it's kind of easy to misinterpret when God tells us to obey. Because we tend to do like that boy did. We do it because we feel like we have to, not because we want to. We have the wrong perspective. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes to see what it is you're trying to say to us today through your word? So I believe God wants us to experience a shift in the way that we view obedience. Like I said a minute ago, we tend to think of it as a have to rather than a want to. Imagine that you saw a guy and his wife, and you come upon the guy, and he's making this checklist of things to do. He says, on his checklist, he says, "Say I love you to my wife. Hold her hand 3 times a week. Buy her flowers 2 times a year. Tell her how good she looks at least once a week. Listen to her talk." If you saw that checklist, you'd probably think, that's weird. Who has a checklist to tell their wife things like that? On the flip side, let's say you saw a couple that just got married, but they never did anything together. They never talked. They never said, "I love you." They never listened to one another. That would also seem weird. So the first point here, Michael, go and go to that first slide. I believe the Lord wants us to have a shift from a have-to attitude to obeying because we love him, because we want to. And it says in this verse here, "Depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you." Our obedience should come out of a relationship with God. It should come out of the desire that we have to know the Lord more and more deeply. At the same time, if we know that God loves us and we know that God has grace and God has mercy for us, we don't use that grace as a excuse or as a license to sin. This is where some people go with obedience. They'll say, "God forgives me, so all my sins are forgiven, so I can just do whatever I want." You ever heard anybody that kind of lives that way? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. They kind of use the grace of God as a get-out-of-jail-free card. You guys remember the game Monopoly? Does anybody still play that anymore? Yeah. Riley, do you know what Monopoly is? Okay. I don't know. I don't play it anymore. But that was kind of the idea, that the license to sin, get out of jail free. God's forgiven me, so I can just do whatever I want. Well, this is what Paul says to the church in Galatia. He's talking to Christians. Chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. That's where we get that kind of concept of a license to sin. In the Bible, it says, don't use it as an opportunity for the flesh. We don't really talk like that to each other. But that's the same concept. And if that's what we're doing, I think we're forgetting how costly Christ's sacrifice was for us. Yes, we're saved and we're forgiven, but how much did he sacrifice for us? Do you guys ever see the movie Castaway? Tom Hanks? If you've never seen it, he's like a pilot. The ship goes down in like the ocean. He gets washed onto the shore to this like desert island, and he lives there for years. He didn't get rescued for years, and so he has to learn how to survive. And there's several scenes in the movie where he's trying to learn how to start a fire, and it takes him hours. And when he finally gets rescued, this is a couple years down the road, they have like a coming home party for him. They've got like a birthday, or not a birthday cake, a cake, and then like candles, and one of those little click lighters, and he's just holding it, and he clicks it, and then he kind of chuckles, because he remembers how costly it was, how difficult it was to learn how to make that fire. In the same way, how costly was it for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins? The people at that party, they probably didn't think about that little lighter. They took for granted how costly that little thing is. And so I think sometimes we take for granted how much Jesus endured so that we could be saved. I don't want to take him for granted. So we've got legalism on one side, and then we've got the other extreme that people tend to go to, which is kind of that license to sin. They have no evidence. If they're over here, they're doing whatever they want. They look like the world. There's no evidence of a changed life. Our lives should look different. Our faith should produce fruit. In John 15, it says, this is Jesus talking to his disciples. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Our faith should produce fruit. Well, what kind of fruit? Keep looking down in chapter 5, verse 22. Actually, let's start up at verse 16 for just a moment. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Then he gives some examples of what that looks like to follow the desires of the flesh. Hop down now to verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. A lot of us probably have that verse memorized. I know I remember memorizing that as a kid. When we walk with the Lord, when we journey with the Lord, we start to bear fruit. They're not rules that we follow. It's like what Pastor Brian said. It's we follow the Lord and he brings the fruit. It's not me trying to be patient. It's not me trying to be loving. That's the wrong perspective. Hey, Michael, go ahead and go to the next slide. So let's look through some of these. The fruit of the Spirit, love. Do I have love for God? Do I love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind? Do I love my neighbor as myself? We hear about that one a lot. Let's keep going. Joy. Are you a grumpy person? Yeah, I see some of you nudging your spouse. Are you a grouchy person? Are you frequently in a bad mood? Would you say that your life is characterized by joy? I know that I would like to be able to say that about myself. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's definitely not. As I grow older, I don't want to be a grumpier person. I want to be a more joyful person as I get older. Peace. Am I walking in his peace? Harrison will come up to us sometimes, and he'll just kind of climb up into our arms. He'll set his head down on our shoulder, and he'll just hang out there. He knows he's loved, and he knows he's safe. When's the last time you climbed up into the arms of your heavenly Father and just let him hold you? Maybe another way of saying that is, when's the last time that you just rested in his presence, trusting that he's in control? I have found that my peace is closely linked with how I'm trusting the Lord, or maybe not trusting the Lord. Maybe that's why I don't have peace. You know what I mean? It's very closely linked with how much we're trusting the Lord. Patience. Are you a patient person? Would your spouse say that you're a patient person? Would your kids? Would your dogs? How many of you have dogs? We got dog people here? Or cats? How many of you are cat people? How many of you have birds? All right. Would your bird say that you're a patient bird owner? And again, it's not just about, let me just try to be more patient. That's definitely not what I'm saying. When I remind myself of Jesus, when I connect with Jesus, I'm reminded that he is incredibly patient with me. That's why I naturally want to be patient with others. It's not just, oh, I was patient today, check. It's a shift. Kindness. Am I kind to others? How many of you got road rage? Oh, we got some liars. I've got some road rage from time to time. I'll be honest. I don't like to admit it. I'll be very unkind to the person who's in front of me, and I'll bob and weave, and I'll get up right next to him. I'm just trying to be honest. You guys ever seen the show Mythbusters? They test out these myths. One of them was, if you bob and weave through traffic, do you actually get there much faster? I thought it was a really interesting episode. They had one guy that was doing all that, and then one guy that was just kind of going with the flow. Well, this guy did get there maybe just a little faster, but he said he was in a terrible mood. He was upset at the world. He hated everybody. He was frustrated. And then this guy, when he got there, was peaceful. All that I bring up just to say this, am I being kind to others who I'm driving around? Because realistically, I'm probably not going to get there much faster, but I'm definitely going to lose my joy. By the time I'm there, I'm not connected with the Lord. It saps us of our joy. We kind of break that fellowship with the Lord for a little bit. Goodness. Is your life characterized by goodness, or is there garbage in your life? Maybe there's garbage in what you watch, or what you say, or what you do. Faithfulness. Are we faithful to God? Do we go after other idols? Or do we go after idols? Are we faithful to each other? We think about faithfulness a lot of times in marriage, but think about your friends. Are you faithful to your friends? Do you go behind their back? Do you lie about them or lie to them? Do you gossip about them? And then when you see them in person, you talk, you know, real friendly and act like nothing's going on. Are we faithful? Gentleness. Am I sensitive to others and their needs? Or am I cold and harsh and critical? And then last, self-control. Are we controlled by our flesh and our fleshly desires, or are we controlled, or do we let the new creation within us keep our flesh at bay? Look at the verse 25 in Galatians. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives within us. If we're Christians, we want to walk in step with him. Walking in step with the Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. That's our second shift. Hey, Michael, go ahead and change it there. It changes us from having a license to sin attitude to a bearing fruit attitude, from walking in step with him. So are you bearing fruit for the Lord? Am I? Are we walking in step with the Holy Spirit? It's funny, sometimes rule following can look a whole lot like bearing fruit from the outside. But realistically, on the inside, it's very different. Different motivation, different energy behind it. As we walk more and more in step with the Holy Spirit, we become more and more aware of the Holy Spirit's leading and his prompting. We start listening intentionally for him. We start looking for opportunities that he might be giving us throughout our day to be a light to other people. Let's turn now to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go to the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. When he had come to Jerusalem to worship, he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. They didn't have Bibles like we did. They had scrolls, like an entire book was a scroll, sometimes multiple scrolls. They didn't have this right here is a modern thing, and sometimes I think we take this for granted. But that's not what I'm preaching on today. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." Let me read that again. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. This is from Isaiah. "Like a shepherd, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they came out, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through. And as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. God called Philip to go somewhere. How did Philip respond? He rose and he went. You know, for me, a lot of times I'll say, "Well, God, tell me the details before I say yes. I want to know what exactly I'm going to have to do before I say yes to you." Philip didn't do that. He just simply obeyed. He obeyed because he trusted the Lord completely. You remember the song, "I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my shame, I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord, singing yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, 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 amen." Y'all remember that song? I used to hate that song. I just didn't get the chorus. I was like, those aren't lyrics. I just didn't get it. For years, I hated that song until I felt like the Lord just kind of spoke to me one day about this. He said, "That's it. Yes, Lord. That's what my answer needs to be. That's why I have sorrow. That's why I have shame. That's why I don't have the joy of the Lord, because my answer has been no, Lord." Or my answer has been, "Well, tell me what you want me to do first, and then I'll tell you if I'll do it." I mean, what kind of attitude is that for me to have with the King of Kings? Philip, his answer was yes. That's our third shift. Hey, Michael, go ahead and switch it there, buddy. From a no Lord attitude to a yes Lord attitude. Yes, my answer is yes. Now, what is it that you wanted me to do? My answer is yes, before I even know what it is. He just, the angel of the Lord just said to him, "Go." And he went. And then in verse 29, the Holy Spirit says, "Go over and join his chariot." He listened again and he obeyed the Holy Spirit's prompting. Are we listening for the Holy Spirit's prompting? Are we looking for those opportunities that God is giving us? Here's some examples. Let's say you're at a red light. Maybe instead of getting frustrated that you hit a red light, this guy, maybe take that as an opportunity from the Lord for yourself to slow down, to stop, and to notice him, to focus on him. Maybe it's an opportunity to stop and notice someone else in another car, or maybe just walking down the street and just pray for that person. Maybe the next time you're in a restaurant, you can ask your waiter, what can I pray for you about? I was getting lunch with a friend of mine, this was a couple months ago, at Cracker Barrel, and we were talking. The waiter had come a couple times getting our drinks, and then our food had just arrived. And then my friend looks up at the waiter and just out of the blue says, what can we pray for you about? And I was caught off guard, and I'm a Christian. And I was thinking, man, this guy's probably going to get offended. I mean, I was like, I don't think he's going to respond well. And the guy, he was a college student. He said, actually, I've got a really big test I'm studying for tomorrow. And I think it was like an engineering class. And so my friend said, okay. And then he had to go because he was, he's waiting tables. But we prayed for him as we thanked the Lord for our food. My friend saw the opportunity that God was giving him. I missed it. But he saw it, and he responded to the Holy Spirit's prompting. He responded to the opportunity that God had given us to be a light to this young man. Maybe you can pay for the lunch of the guy behind you in line. Maybe you can notice a car as a broken down car, offer to help change the tire, or at least offer like a phone in case they don't have some way to call. Maybe when we wake up in the middle of the night and can't fall back asleep, maybe we see that as an opportunity that God is giving us to pray and to connect with Him rather than just, playing on your phone. Maybe when we see someone new come in, rather than retreating and, let me go to the bathroom or something. Like, see that as an opportunity to reach out to somebody rather than hide. I'm not saying this to you all. I'm saying this to myself as much as I am to anybody else. So please don't think I've got this figured out. Yesterday, we take our dogs to a groomer to cut their nails. We have three little dogs, and they're a hassle to try to get their nails trimmed. So we just take them to the groomer. They do it in just a few minutes. Before I left, Casey said, hey, I just want you to know that the lady who does the grooming, her sister, she was pregnant. 27 weeks, lost their baby. So I said, okay. So I go and I talk to her, just some chit chat. I asked her how, if business was good today or whatever. And then she said, it's been a really tough week. And I didn't want to pry, I didn't want to push, so I was just kind of waiting for her to kind of give me the okay to ask or to talk about it. And so I just mentioned that Casey had said, I said, I was really sorry. I've been there. Casey and I lost our first baby. And then she, we continued with the dogs and nail trim and all that, and we were wrapping up, and I just stopped and I said, can I pray for you right now? And I thought she was going to cry, and I prayed with her. It wasn't a remarkable prayer by any means. It was just me being real with her. How many times have I missed those opportunities that God has given me because I was in too much of a rush? I was too busy. I'm thankful I saw it yesterday. Most of the time I miss it. Are we listening? Are we looking for the Holy Spirit and the things that he's put in our path? Ways to obey Him. That's our fourth shift. Michael, go ahead and switch it there. Instead of just going through the motions, we obey because we want to follow His Holy Spirit. We want to follow His leading because that's where we find connection, is walking in step with Him. Do I have my spiritual eyes open? Or am I just looking with my natural eyes? God wants us to have a shift in our perspective about obedience. It's not about following rules. He wants us to obey Him because we want to, because we love Him. He doesn't want us to take advantage of His grace and use it as a license to sin. We should have fruit. We should be growing some fruit. Maybe it's a small amount, but there should be some evidence of a changed life. I want to have a yes, Lord attitude. I want to be like Philip. I didn't notice this until I just read it. Where was it? Verse 29, the Spirit says to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Verse 30, so Philip ran. He ran to obey the Lord. He was so excited. This makes me think of Harrison When I ask him to go do something, he's so excited to just do it. He just loves to do things for us. Why can't we have that kind of energy in it and excitement to do things for our Heavenly Father and have a yes, Lord attitude? And then lastly, as a result of walking in step with him, are we having a attitude to follow the Holy Spirit's prompting? Or am I just plowing through the day, just kind of getting from thing to thing? Let's pull back a little bit. Let's slow down and look and see what maybe the Lord is telling me to do today, even as you walk out today. And maybe you have a certain routine. You grab your stuff and you do this and you do that. Maybe you talk to this person. Maybe you don't talk to anybody. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Even as we leave and then go to lunch or go home, look for maybe what the Lord is laying on your heart, what the Holy Spirit might be saying to you, and ways that you can be a light to the other people around you. It's time for a shift in the way we think about obedience. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for the times that we've missed. How many times that we have missed the things that you've given to us, opportunities to be a light to others, which in turn draws us closer to you. It's fruitful for that person, but it's also fruitful for us. I pray that we would have our spiritual eyes open today and that we would obey you because we want to and because we love you. And we're so grateful for how much you love us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Josh, for sharing a strong word today from God's word and a challenge to us to experience that shift in obedience. This is our time of wrapping up our service, our worship, and responding to the words that we've heard and to what the experience has been in worship. And so I'm going to invite you to just know in your own heart how it is that the Lord wants you to respond and the shift that he wants to bring about in your life. We're going to sing a closing song. I want to invite you to stand at this time. Jesus, keep me nearer to the cross. And as we sing, may we respond to the Lord.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain.
It's been. Amen. Let me mention a few announcements. I've mentioned our missions focus that we have for the next month or so. Let me also mention in the back of the room as you exit, you'll see just to my left, it'll be to your left as you go out, the missions wall back there. That's the result of the work of Jack and just a vision to see an area there here in our sanctuary for us to be aware of some things and to be active in different ways. And so stop by there and just take a look at it and see some different interactive opportunities there. Also, our offering envelopes are finally here, and you can get those outside the office. Be sure to stop by and pick those up. Easter's coming up, April the 9th. What a wonderful day that'll be for us as we worship together. There are some invite cards if you want to pick those up at the table in the back of the sanctuary and distribute those if you have opportunity. Invite folks to worship with us on Easter Sunday. We'll have a sunrise service at 7, but we're inviting the public to join us at 10 o'clock for our worship service. So that's coming up. It's good to look out and see your faces today and to just know that we're joined together in worship. And I pray the Lord's richest blessings on you and your families this week as we go from this place. We'll leave from here, and there are some of our life groups that are meeting, so be sure to join in with those if you desire. Our men's group meets on Monday nights at 7, and so be aware of that here at the church. So a lot of different ways to be involved, and may you do so as the Lord leads you. Let me voice a prayer, and this will be our dismissal. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day of worship together. Lord, how we've met you and lifted up our praise to you. Open up our hearts to you in prayer, Lord, and then open our minds to you in as your word has been shared with us today. Lord, may that shift in obedience be true in our hearts as we walk in step with your Spirit. Thank you so much for your goodness to us, for your faithfulness to us. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.